everything that's been said and done. Been nervous, been sick. You want the truth about it? You can go ask Brother Creston. After a while, I told him today, I said, he ain't the only person I told this either. I said, if they was playing, I wouldn't have to go tonight and preach. I said, I'd sure be all right. A lot of folks may say, well, why in the world is that? Because it's already been spoke about. It's not been planned out. I didn't put a bug in Josh's ear. I didn't put a bug in Dustin's ear. Didn't put a bug in Kayla's ear. But it's been talked about several times tonight. It's all about the grace of God. You ain't even got to stand up, because I'm going to read one verse. I was studying. I've read over this several times. But boy, it just gets better and better. And me and Creston talked just for a little thought there today. And boy, it's just good to where something you can read over and over and over. And the Lord just come right by your way at the right exact time. When you are in the lowest valley and he says, hey, here's my grace. The Bible in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 7, and this is the only one I'm going to read. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And as I began to sit down and I began to ponder on that and got to hear Kevin preach the message, and he kind of gave me tidbits over whenever he was over at Stockton, but over there at Dripping Springs, no, I ain't got no measuring tape. That's Kevin Sexton's message about the measuring tape on your life. But I got to sitting down and I got to pondering about this, about measure of the gift of Christ. And as I began to sit down, Dustin, and I began to ponder about this, and it says, but unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And I got to sitting down and got to thinking and got to pondering and that upon this about, number one, the gift, given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Well, whenever you sat down and you began to think, as a child, and my girls especially do this, one will have something and they'll say, I'd like that, and they'll give it to them, and then before you know it, they're fighting over it because the other one wants it back. And whenever I was growing up, and I know this is not politically correct, but we called that Indian giving. And so to where you'd give something away, but you went and you either took it back or you desired it and you possessed it. And then you just, you really didn't give it away. But as I got to thinking about the gift of Christ and what it was, and so I began to ponder, and then I began to look, and then began to look about measuring the gift of Christ. And as I began to ponder on this, measuring out the gift of Christ, well, number one, we all know, those that are saved, we know that he gave us the gift of salvation, gave us a gift of eternal life, gave us something that is never ending, that is everlasting, that is there no matter how bad we are. He is there. And then I got to looking about to how and that Christ came. Christ came as humbled as a little child, but God could have made him come as a king. God could have wiped this thing out, but he knew that the world needed a Savior. And then I got to thinking about just how and that the big of a measuring stick you'd have to have to be able to measure the gift of Christ. Why? Because he's everything. We're nothing without him. And so as we began to sit down and we began to study on this, the Lord really got in me. Brother Dustin, you said that you were the only one that sinned, but guess what, brother? I'm right there with you. And so I know a lot of folks tend to bathe in their own grace, tend to bathe and just go ahead and get in their own pool of their own self. But I got to looking and I got to studying about this, that we are given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so I began to study and began to ponder about how in the world, how much grace are we given? Well, praise God, it is an endless field of grace. I've been in many a cornfields that are many acres, and that corn gets over your head. Praise God, it's good enough to where you get out in it. And Jordan Potter, honey, I'm just going to be honest with you. You get out in it and you make one wrong turn, and guess what? You just get lost in it. And so that's what I like in that about the gift of God, as we can get lost in God's grace. The world will not give you grace, friend. The world will hold you accountable. And that's why Christ had to come to fulfill the law and give us grace. So then I got to thinking, well, let's go back to the beginning. It's because of God's grace that us as humanity is even here. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and he could have just wiped out all humanity and said, I'm done with it. But it's through God's grace that you and I are even here today. And then I got to thinking on there about Noah. The Lord was so fed up with it. Then the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so grace was there, but guess what? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and we all know the story of Noah. What happened? Well, the Lord saved Noah and his sons and his whole family, basically. And as he done that, what happened? He started over. Well, guess what? That's why we have the glorious rainbow. It's not about any other type of flag. The rainbow is a true promise of God that He will not destroy the earth with water again. And so the next time that He comes back, it'll be fire. But guess what? I began to sit there and began to ponder and began to really get into just how good God's grace really is. And if you really sit back and you think about your own life, why? Because Jesse's had to think about his own life. Nathaniel Linder texted me earlier this week, and I told him that I wallowed it all night long. Why? Because as you sat there and you begin to think just how wicked, just how sorry you are, just how sinful you are, and knowing that the thrice holy God has got every bit of justification to take you out of this thing, but yet you're still here. Why? Because of grace, honey. Because of grace. That's the only reason we're here. And then you began to think, I thank God and that for my parents. My daddy taught me how to work. My mama drug me to church. And thank God for that. But guess what? Why was I born into that family? It's by the grace of God that I was raised up that way. Not everybody has been. So guess what? We come to a glorious church. We got an amazing pastor. Why? It's because of the grace of God. Why can we sit in here? If you go on a little bit further before I read in verse number 7, it talks about the unity of the church. Why can we have and at a business meeting and ain't nobody fussing or anything like that? It's because of the grace of God. It's because every one of us that is saved can claim the grace of God. But then I got to really pondering. It got really deep. And I said, but Jesse, you don't have grace for your own self. There's a lot of things, Brother Dustin, that I don't give my own self grace for. And it's just like standing here. If every man was honest with himself, we ain't worthy to stand right here. But how can we? By the grace of God. You know, and Brother Nathaniel quotes the scripture that Paul says over there in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 15, And he says, Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so I got to thinking, Jesse, if God gives you grace according to the measure of the gift of Jesus Christ, that he sent his only son to die for you, and he's given you grace over that, he's given you grace that much, you can't measure it. But you can't forgive yourself. You don't have enough grace to give grace to yourself. Now, I ain't saying go out here and live like a heathen and you all right. Let's get that perfectly clear. But these things that the Lord has very well forgiven you of, that you still carry it around in your pocket. They still things that you have done in the past, that man is dead and gone. He's buried, never to be resurrected again. But what happens? You're carrying them old dry bones with you everywhere you go. Friend, we have to have grace. We have to give ourselves grace. And a lot of folks says, well, how in the world can I give myself grace? Because it was paid. It was paid for, friend. Bible says that it's cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Why is that? If Christ forgives you, but you can't forgive yourself, are you saying that his grace and the sacrifice that was made for you is not enough? I mean, let's just be honest with one another. Be honest with yourself. Let's not be with one another. Let me rephrase that. Be honest with yourself. Because you know what you hold on to. And thank God that it was written down right here in verse number 9. If I can read this thing. verse number 8, it says, wherefore he saith, he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave captivity captive. You are captivating your own self. You're putting your own self in a box when God's trying to bless you. You're putting your own self, well, I can't do that. I can't sing. Why not? Has God not been gracious enough to you? And I got to sitting down and really, really looking at this. And I went to Webster's 1828 and looked up the word grace. If you've never done so, there's about 10 or 12 different type things that grace can mean. But the more that I dove into this thing, the more that God just put his hand over everything. And the first thing that it come up was free. Nathaniel, there's been times in my life I ain't had two nickels rubbed together. There ain't no way I could ever repay the Lord for what he's done for me already, just today. But guess what? Praise God, it was free. It didn't cost me a dime. I just had to come willingly and surrender. That's all I had to do to be able to get lost in a field of grace. And then I got to thinking about a song that I like. I don't care if you like it or not. If you don't like it, we'll talk about it later. And I like the person that sings it too. Weston sings that song. It says, unmerited love. I don't know about you, but if you ain't never looked what unmerited means, can't be matched. Unmerited love. So you're free, you're loved, and it says favor of God. Friend, you get to sitting down and you get to thinking about, well, what did I do to even deserve his love? What did I do to deserve the wife that he gave me? What did I do to even deserve the two beautiful little girls that I've been blessed with? What did I do to deserve to even be called of something that I feel so unworthy for? What did I do to deserve to be able to even come and be a part of a congregation and to feel the presence of the Lord? What did I do to deserve even a job to where I could work and provide for my family? What did I even do to deserve to even have clothes to wear on my back and shoes on my feet? What did I do to deserve a nice warm meal? Even though my wife said tonight, and I'm sorry, she said them mashed potatoes ain't worth a dime, they're too runny. I'm going to throw them out. But you know what? Before this right here come along, I said, well, just throw them out. But I looked at her and I said, honey, Grace. And you know what? Her oldest one said those were probably the best mashed potatoes she had ate. She liked them that way. So friend, let me tell you, why do you deserve it? You don't. It's all because of grace. You know, I don't deserve anything. We don't deserve the very air that we breathe. Every breath that we take is by God's grace. He could have wiped us out, as I already said. He could have wiped us clean off the earth, been done with all humanity, started over, and made it a little bit different. But you know what? He had grace. And in my line of work, these times, no, there ain't no critters getting grace, I'm sorry. But in my line of work, as a supervisor, sometimes you have to have hard conversations. And me not being halfway able to hear, two, being half dumb and raised over in Scott County, no offense to any of them, Tanner tells me all the time they went to Oneida. But not being a well-educated individual, and when I get excited or I'm very passionate, my voice tends to really, really rise up. It's not because I'm yelling. It's not because I'm mad. It's because I get excited or get really passionate about it. And my voice tends to rise. And there's times where employees do things that absolutely crawls my skin. They do things that's just, they have no desire, no passion. They have no, self-drive. They just don't care. They're there for a paycheck. They collect it on Friday, Saturday, whatever day their bank gets it. And that's it. They don't have any pride in the work that they do. So in times, there has to be some harsh conversations. Well, there was a time when Jesse didn't spare much grace. There was times when Jesse would just tell him, you're doing it this way and that's the way it's going to be, and if you don't like it, I'll give you for insubordination and I'll give you a 60-day demonstration opportunity. If you fail at that, guess what? I'll start your termination paperwork. And through this, the Lord really struck me. How much grace do I give you and how much grace do you give out? Oftentimes, somebody, now we don't ever know what anybody's going through, but there's times where you may be going through things or the mashed potatoes don't get made exactly the way that you want them and you can get a little snappy. She didn't get snappy, but you can get a little snappy because you seem, hey, things ain't going right for me. Things ain't happening the way that I think they ought to. This thing's not going to the way that I had it planned. Well, friend, it's not your plan. You get to plan because God gives you grace to plan, because sometimes, and the Lord don't do this, but sometimes I think the Lord really, he likes to sit back and laugh at old Jess, because Jess likes to plan out every little thing. And then it comes and it's like, well, that ain't even nowhere close to what we had planned. And he says, it's because it's my plan, not yours. Friend, oftentimes in Jesse's life, things would probably run a whole lot smoother if I said, Lord, here it is. You tell me what you want. And that's what I'll do. You tell me what you want, because you've showered my life in grace. I can't turn no words around and not find grace. I can't look anywhere and not find where you've had grace on my life. And folks will say, well, how in the world is that? Well, friend, let me give you something in perspective. Today, just today, and I know Kristen and Chase, and there's probably, I think Benny drives a truck too. There's probably several drivers that drive a truck or drive down the road. Do you realize every vehicle that you pass on the road, you're 3 foot? I mean, is that right? Just about it, just pretty close. You're about 3 feet from death. So every vehicle you pass by, guess what? Grace. 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 You get, and I'm the world's worst. You get held up in traffic and you're like, man, what in the world happened? I was already running late because, you know, a kid had, they wouldn't get their shoes on or this or that or the other, and or I forgot this and had to turn around and go back to the house, and I'm running late. I ain't got time to sit in this traffic. But what you don't realize is grace was out in front of you. And so, friend, if you really want to know how much grace is on your life, measure it to the gift of Christ. You may be sitting here tonight and you may say, Jesse, I don't know Christ. I don't know anything about this grace. Friend, let me tell you, you got to know Christ before you can find grace. You got to find Christ before you can love. Why? Because Christ is love. He's the only way that we can get grace. And even whenever you're lost, you'll find out looking back over your life, there was grace, there was grace, there was grace. Even as a lost individual, the good God in heaven, the one that spoke this very thing into existence, as filthy as you are, I ain't under the blood yet, God still has grace on your life. Grace. You may say, well, I like to see it. Right now I'm on hard times. Guess what? Sometimes, and Jesse's guilty for this, and I'm about to come to a close, but Jesse's very guilty of times I say, Lord, just move that mountain. Just get it out of the way. Lord, just remove that stumbling block. Lord, just fix it some way, shape, or form to where I don't even have to deal with it. When in reality, it should be, God, give me strength to overcome. Give me strength, Lord, to climb this mountain. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've probably climbed more mountains than most folks besides maybe Donnie Williams. And guess what? There's always one thing that I've found on every mountain I've climbed. There's always something to grab a hold of and hold on to help you get up. Well, friend, I don't know what you're going through tonight. Don't know what you're facing in life. You may say, Jesse, I'm grasping at straws, and every time I grab one, it comes out. Well, guess what, friend? There's a solid line that you can grab a hold of. And if you can't climb, guess what? He'll carry you. If you can't make it through, guess what? He'll be right there with you. Sometimes we need a little bit of encouragement. And what I mean by that is, you know, and as a preacher, that's the most hard, and I appreciate it, don't get me wrong, but as a preacher, The hardest thing is when somebody shakes your hand and says, good message, good preaching. Ain't me. It's all because of the grace of God. They won't be no preaching none if God ain't in it. But the encouragement that we need comes right here. The encouragement that we need is right here. And I'm afraid that many folks today, the reason that our country and our state, our county, our towns are in the way that they're in is because this is the most best-selling book for many years. They've sold more copies than anybody, than any other book. And I've heard our pastor say it. I'm guilty of it. I probably got about four or five, maybe six of these things laying around. But every time Brother Doug gives his away, I give him another. And people claim that they know who the Lord is. They've been saved. Everybody in Fentress County is what our pastor says. Everybody in Fentress County you meet, saved. And they'll say, well, I didn't know that was in the Bible. When's the last time you picked it up and read it? The answers are right here. Everything is right here. And on that day that those folks that claim, Bible tells us plainly, not every one that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in. They'll hear those dreadful words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And they'll claim that they've cast out devils and demons and this and that. They've prophesied in His name. And that's what they're going to hear. Friend, right here is the answer. When you get up there, you can say, well, I didn't know about that. I don't know about you, but every chance I had an opportunity, whenever I was in school and I had an answer key, I studied the answer key. Friend, right here is your answer key. If you're not willing to pick it up and study it and read it, try to memorize it the best you can, that's on you. But don't fail the test because you're afraid of the answer. I'm afraid a lot of times, I'm going to close with this, a lot of times in today's world, folks will try to take life and shape this thing around their life instead of shaping their life around the Word of God. Brother Dustin.